If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. It's good to be out to God's house. And I want you to go to Romans 8 and verse number 26, and I'll read down to the end of the chapter. And I have a thought that I am going to deal with this morning and tonight, and out of Romans chapter number 8. Before I get into reading, I want you to be much in prayer for our country. A lot of times things happen, and a lot of us don't really know the impact of it. But yesterday, who I think was the greatest justice of my day, Supreme Court Justice Scalia, he passed away yesterday. Now it leaves the court 4-4. I told you last summer when they passed the law about same-sex marriage, how much danger we were in. We're one liberal away. We need to pray for this country. I mean, we ain't playing now. I mean, this is serious business. And the election of this year is going to be the most important election of your lifetime. And everything that we hold true is in danger. And the forces of evil are after us. But I'm going to encourage you with a chapter this morning. And I want you to go, I need some encouragement. How you about you? I need some preaching this morning. Praise God. Romans chapter number 8. If you're there, say amen. And verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, oh, I like this. I don't like it when I'm going through hard times, but I like it. Sometimes we don't understand it when we go through hard times, but I know it's true. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us? Here's the theme I want you to see. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, nay, nay. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded, well, glory, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to magnify this today and tonight. The phrase in verse number 35 and the phrase in verse number 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then look at verse number 39, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. This morning, I'm going to preach on the love of Christ. This is Valentine's Day. We have no capacity to love our spouse outside the love of Christ. We don't have any capacity to love our neighbor outside the love of Christ. We have no capacity to pray for our enemies outside the love of Christ. This morning, here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you the doctrine around the love of Christ. And then tonight, I'm going to give you the demonstration of the love of Christ. I want to say to you as I build this platform this morning that when we talk about the love of Christ, I'm talking about all the promises, all the power that's associated with his name. I'm glad that he loves me. He loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm in. He loves me when I'm out. I'm glad of God who loves me this morning. Love me before the foundation of the world. Will love me when this world is on fire. Somebody help me. Let me give you five things this morning about the doctrine of the love of Christ. Number one, look at verse number 27 and verse number 34. I see, first of all, the promise of his prayers. How many of you ever got to a place in your Christian life? Or you even, maybe you was a sinner wanting to pray, and you didn't even know how to pray. How many of you ever been in a place in your Christian life when you were so crushed, so down, so defeated, so discouraged that you couldn't even pray? Somebody ought to wave at me right here because it's going to be good. When you were prayerless, when you could not pray, when you didn't even know how to pray, when you didn't even know what to pray for, thank God for his prayer. Thank God for the Holy Ghost prayer. Verse number 27 says the Holy Ghost prays for us. Now I want to know, you know the charismatics have this all wrong. Hello? They believe this is speaking in tongues. That's when you speak in tongues, just prayer language. I want you to know them. That's a father saying from the truth. I'm telling you, there's times when your flesh won't let you pray. I want to tell you, there's sometimes you can't get to God. Somebody help me right here. But aren't you glad that God has an intercessor? God has somebody based upon his love that will pray for you? Praise God, when I've been almost out, when I feel like it was all gone, like my life was shattered, my life was crumbled, thank God there was one that was within me that prayed for me, that lifted me up before God, told God what I needed, and God answered that prayer. Well, Lord God, you said, I didn't know he loved me that much. He loved you so much, he prays for you. He prays for you through the Holy Ghost, but look at here, in verse number 34, he prays for you himself. Look what the Bible said. Who is he that condemneth? By the way, give you some good advice. We need to quit condemning one another. But I want to tell you what, there's a lot of folks, you know, I don't know about you, but there's been some times when I probably wasn't looking and acting like a Christian. You say, well, I've never been, oh, well, God bless you, then you must have quit breathing. Well, Brother Blake, look at this in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? That's somebody might try to condemn you. I'm going to tell you it won't work at all. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is at the right hand, who is even at the right hand of God, who also what? Maketh intercessions. Buddy, when people start condemning us, and they'll condemn you. I know you're awful young, what, 32? And you're awful young, but there's somebody throw a sledgehammer at you every once in a while. But aren't you glad that there's one at the right hand of God saying, amen, that's my boy. There's one at the right hand of God says, take care of him, God. I shed my blood for him. Amen. He's your child. He's sealed to the day of redemption through the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that the love of Christ produces prayers for us. Number two. This is the doctrine. Number two, in verse number 28, The love of Christ gives us the promise of his providence. Let's look at this verse. Will you, if you're going through something this morning, I want you to look through this verse. And we know it is a certain promise. See, if you're unsaved this morning, you're not a one bit connected to this. It's not for unbelievers. It's for you if you get saved. But it's not for you if you're lost. Said, and we know. How many glad you got a know-so salvation? I'm glad that I'm on the inside and I know. It's a comprehensive promise. And we know that all things. Number three, it is a comforting promise. Work together for good. Hey, some of you this year, probably this last year has been one of the worst years of your life. This year has been one of the toughest times of your life. And you said, preacher, I don't understand it. How can this be for my good? But I want you to know the Bible said we know that all things work together for the good. It is also a Christian promise. Those who love God. This is not for the Christless. This is not for the heathen. It's for the sealed. It's for the sanctified. It's for the glorified. It's for the called. It's for them that God loved and had shed his blood for. It's for us. It's for you, church. It's for the church of the living God. Whew. Praise God. We have the promise of his prayers based upon his love. We have the promise of his providence based on love. I want to say this too before I go a little further. But once in a while, just because I want to be blessed, I read the story of Esther. Let me just read the story of Esther, the book of Esther. Go read it. You'll not find one mention of God. He is silent. And sometimes in my life, I feel like he's silent. I don't even hear the mention of his name. But I want to tell you, lurking in the shadows, I see Jesus lurking in the shadows of my life. There is a God that's supreme above all, a God that's in total control, that has me in his providence, has me in his hand. Faith, raise your hand. I'm in his plan. Let me give you a third thing. Just going down this passage, I'm not going, whoa, glory. The love of Christ also gives us the promise of his perfection. Look at verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now I'm going to go on record here. First of all, we are predestined to perfection. Now look at me. I'm going to bring a message, a series on Sunday night about the Calvinistic movement, the hyper-Calvinistic movement. And by the way, for some of you that don't know, in doctrine, there's no difference between a Calvinist and a hyper-Calvinist. There may be some in practice, but I want to tell you something. God has never predestinated one person to go to hell. You were not born to be saved or born to be lost. You were born with a free will. You were born that God could save you. Ladies and gentlemen, predestination is not for the lost. It is for the purpose. I am predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Here's what he said. I got a plan before the foundation of the world. And whosoever believes in that plan will be predestinated to be like my son. Can I hit that one more time? Let me give you the biggest fallacy of Calvinism. I'm jacked up on that because there's not a doctor that's doing more damage in our churches than that doctrine right there. You know what their whole fallacy is built upon? Being dead in Christ or dead to sin. They don't have a clue what death means. Here's what they think death means, Jeff. They think death means just like a corpse laying over a Chapman funeral home. They cannot talk. They cannot hear. They cannot respond. That's false. See, God told Adam, as soon as you eat of that fruit, forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely what? Come on, say it, church. Thou shalt surely what? By the way, death is not a corpse-like state. Death is separation. Somebody help me preach right there. Oh, you said, well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm glad you asked me. Here's what I'm talking about. When God came into the garden, Adam fell into sin. Guess what? The Bible said he went and hid himself. And God come walking through the garden and said, Adam! By the way, Adam heard him. And then Adam said, here am I. And God, Adam spoke to him. Do not tell me that a sinner cannot respond to the gospel call. Do not tell me. Here's what the Calvinists have got so low. Here's what they really believe. They won't admit it, but they have to admit it if you nail them down. You know what they believe? They believe you've got to be born again or quickened by the Spirit before you can believe. Now that sounds real. Hey, hold it. That's the basis of what they believe. But can I tell you something? It's just the opposite. I got quickened by the Spirit when I did believe. I'm glad I was born again the moment I trusted Jesus Christ and I had a free will and I am predestined to perfection. We also, in verse 30, are called to perfection. I believe if a sinner, man, sinner, woman, you can't be saved unless you get called. I tell you about, boy, I don't know why I'm on this so heavy this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and get it. I'm going to just blast this out of the water. Tell you something else about that crowd. They talk about two callings. A general call. That means God calls to you, but you can't get saved. Or an effectual call. That's only when you can get saved. That's their doctrine of irresistible grace. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I am glad that he said, for God so loved the world. I believe that Jesus Christ gives every sinner man a chance to be saved, and you go to hell, and the reason you go to hell is not your smoking, not your drinking, not your running around. You go to hell because you reject Jesus Christ. And for anybody that says you can't reject the call of God is a liar. Whew. Now, verse 30, I'm still going. We are justified for his perfection. Them are also called whom he also justified. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means I've been declared righteous. But look here, I want somebody to get ready to shout. Somebody run for me right here. Them he also justified. Then be also glorified. You said, how much does he really love you? In his mind right now, I've already got my glorified body. Answer me a question. I just want you to answer me this question. Them he also glorified. Doesn't that sound like past tense to you? Huh? Oh, yeah. Then God's saying, Jared, it's already done. Anybody that can't believe the doctrine of eternal security can't believe the Bible. I've got a God that loved me. He called me. He justified me. But he's not going to let me spoil and go to hell. He's already glorified me. Oh, the love of Christ. Isn't it something wonderful? Number four, verse 31 through 34, we have the promise of his provisions. Look at verse 31. Let me ask you a question. Put yourself right here. I want to ask you, how many of you have ever felt like everything's going against you? I mean, financially you're having a hard time. Maritally you're having a hard time. Spiritually, you're having a hard time. Emotionally, you're having a hard time. Physically, you're having a hard time. You're just saying, preacher, everything's against me. Oh, not everything. Look at verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? Chad, if God be for us, who could be against us? His provision, number one, he is our helper. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to tell it like it is tomorrow. I just feel like about half helpless most of the time. But aren't you glad that somebody else is in charge? He's your helper. When you feel like the whole world's caving in, he's your helper. When you feel like you can't help yourself, he's your helper. When all things you said, like a Jacob seems against you, he's your helper. Verse 32, also he's your provider. Whew. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all, how shall he not with him also give us all things? I want you to know something. God will give you every good thing you need. Some of you say, well, there's a lot of wants I have. Well, a lot of our wants are fleshly, selfish wants. But everything we need to survive, God gives that through the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 33. He's our defender. Oh, I like this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. You might even get to the place that some brother says something ugly about you. I want you to know something. Let me give some of you some advice. Some of you always try to get revenge on people. Don't have to. And by the way, some of you like to defend yourself. You don't have to. You got a defense attorney. You got a savior. You got a, well, Lord, somebody help me. Hallelujah. And then verse 34, he's our mediator. And by the way, there's one mediator between God and man, and his name is Christ Jesus. By the way, I don't have to go to a religious leader of this world to be my mediator. I don't have to come to church and confess my sins to anybody. I have a mediator. I don't have to have somebody take a cup and eat bread and they say that it turns into the blood and the body. I have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I'm not saved by sacraments. I'm not saved by works. I'm saved because he provided the way for me, became the mediator between God and man. Hey, but well, glory. Lastly, I'm done. Verses 35 through 39. Go over, man, this is good right here. This will make you want to shout. You got any in you? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things were more than what? Conquerors. Let me give you four things here. In verse 35, there's no problem that can separate us from his love. Look at me. Let me address something. A lot of marriage couples here, married couples in this room. The heat's on our marriage. Let me say it. The heat's on your marriage. The heat's on. You know what the devil like to do? You said, I've been saved for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. He'd like to tear up your home. I don't care how long you've been saved. But I want you to know, there's no problem in life, in marriage, in the church, at work, that my God can't take care of. Hallelujah. Let me give you this. In verse 35 through 7, there's no persecution can separate us from his love. I want you to hear me. You might not be feeling it. We haven't actually had the rod of persecution actually hit us yet. But Jack Floor, we're starting to feel the pressure of government. We're starting to feel the push of an anti-God, anti-Christ government that's out of control. Am I preaching? And I want you to know something. I believe this. I believe we're going to miss the tribulation. But I want to tell you something. I still believe this. The Church of the Living God and Christians are going to start facing literal face-to-face, one-on-one persecution. It's going to happen. But I want to give you some hope. There's no persecution separating you from his love. Look at number 3 in verse 38 and 39. Let me read these verses so you can get really pumped up. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. Look what he says here. He's putting life before death as far as the impact on your life. I want to tell you something. Life sometimes is a lot more difficult than death. Because we're on the winning side. We die with the Lord. But life sometimes can bring some tough stuff. No angels, no principality, no powers, no things present, no things to come, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. There's no power that can separate us from his love. I want you to know there's no person can separate you from his love. Let me give you some good pastoral advice. Get your eyes off of people. Get them on God. Get your eyes off of people that you feel like have failed you. Get them on God. This morning, I've laid out the foundation for this message, the doctrine. He prays for us. He provides for us. He's predestinated us. But he has a power. First of all, sinner, he has a power to deliver you from your sin this morning. Secondly, Christian, he has the power to deliver you from your problem this morning. But your need is to trust the love of Christ. Stand with me with head bows and eye closed.
When he said, whosoever come, the Lord of all creation gave his life for my salvation. So undeserved, it's hard for me to understand God's Son would give this invitation, this wondrous revelation.